Today, I would like to look at the subject of the beast that is to come, as mentioned in Revelation chapter 17. We will look at what this may mean from a scriptural point of view and based on the present as located at the beginning of the second advent, the Lord's Day, to which the Apostle John appears to have been transported in time. In studying prophecy, particularly in Revelation, what is presented here should be carefully assessed in regards to the scriptures. Also presented today in regards to the beast that is to come involves general features only, as many of the prophetic details may not become clear until we actually see the beast rising. In the previous discourse, the basis for and utility of the prophetic present, we saw that the prophetic present coincided with the beginning of the second advent during the time of the sixth English head of the seven-headed scarlet beast of Revelation 17. This was a time when beastly authoritarian rule had been pushed to the background by the emergence of democracy and liberalism in England, and which gradually spread throughout Western Europe. We noted that the time for the beginning of the counting of the heads of the scarlet beast is established by the vital clues given to us in chapter 17, where the harlot is seen to be seated on the seven heads. That the mountains and kings represented by the seven heads support the harlot is a new piece of information not contained in any of the other pictures of the Roman beast, and is likely therefore to be significant and important, and appears to have been given to us specifically in order to identify the seven heads. The relationship between the harlot and the seven heads suggests that we start counting the kings represented by the heads from when the papacy came to have real power, when she began to sit on them. The symbol of sitting here appears to indicate interacting with and being supported by these kings. Sitting on the seven heads appears to depict in symbolic fashion the same relationship outlined in verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. An important reason the harlot is condemned. Spiritual fornication refers to the illicit relationship the harlot has had with the kings of the earth in order to gain power and influence. This contrasts with the true church, which is depicted as a chaste virgin, betrothed to Christ, waiting patiently for his return and his kingdom. It is during his initially invisible second advent that Jesus begins the process of taking the kingdom to himself, over which he will rule with his bride when his initially invisible parousia is made manifest. As the seven heads are the elements of support, one cannot start counting the heads before papacy came to have real support from these temporal powers. Each of the heads can then be identified with the civil powers that dominated the region of the Western Roman Empire once the pagan Roman Empire disintegrated. The significance of the symbol of the head of the beast appears to be that it is the main power in that region at a particular time that controls the beast. Beginning the counting of the heads from around 539 AD, when the papacy came to have real worldly power, based on its interaction with the civil authorities and along with the identification of the prophetic present, at the beginning of the second advent, we are able to identify the sixth head and make sense of what is meant by the beast that is not, which coincides with the time of the sixth head. The time of the English sixth head stands out as a remarkable time in the gospel age, and one which is characterized by increasing democratization, personal freedoms, and individual rights, largely introduced by England after leading the coalition that defeated Napoleon at Waterloo in 1815. We take democracy, freedom of speech, and individual rights for granted in the Western democratic world. But these qualities are in fact an aberration in the countries of the former Western Roman Empire. These characteristics are opposite to that of authoritarian rule and suppression of individual liberty and rights that marked the beastly governments that came before, and explains the seeming paradox of how the fourth Roman beast exists and continues till the kingdom is set up, and yet is not, and also is to come. In the previous discourse, we also saw that this is not phase is identified with the beast being in the bottomless pit, showing that this state is one of powerlessness rather than actually not existing. This nicely corroborates the thought that when the beast is not during the time of the English sixth head, it is a time when authoritarian rule, suppression of individual freedoms and rights, has been pushed to the background. We also noted that from the point of view of the prophetic present, the seventh head would be future. Consistent with the prophecy, the other has not yet come. Moreover, even though the seventh head would entail a return to the beastly characteristics of authoritarian rule, it would only be present for a little while, as the Revelation prophecy says. This was fulfilled with the short period of European supremacy by the fascist Italian-German axis between 1939 and 45, a much shorter period compared to the centuries of rule of the previous heads. From the point of view of the prophetic present located at the beginning of the Second Advent, the beast that is to come is something that we have not seen yet, and therefore a future event. This is evident from the fact that the beast that is to come is an eighth head. Moreover, it is the last, and once it, along with the ten kings, is destroyed, having been conquered by the Lamb and his army, the kingdom proper can begin. More will be said about this shortly. With the defeat of Nazi Germany and National Socialism in 1945, there was a return to the state of the beast in the is not phase. Historically, there was an expansion of democracy and individual rights and freedoms after the Second World War. And this has pretty much continued to our day, till very recently. It could, however, be objected that because the English sixth head ended with the rise of Italian-German fascism, the is not phase of the beast should have come to an end. Prophetically, however, we see in verses 8 and 11 that the is-not phase of the beast will only end with the emergence of the beast from the pit, which coincides with it becoming the eighth head. This means that the is-not phase continues after the Italian-German seventh head. Our time of democracy and individual rights and freedoms will therefore continue until the emergence of the beast, the eighth head, when authoritarian rule, along with an erosion of individual rights and freedoms in Western Europe and other Western democracies, emerges. It is truly remarkable that only over the last 9 years have the governments of Western Europe and other Western democracies started to move toward increasing state power at the expense of personal privacy and freedoms as a response initially to Muslim extremist terrorism. This has accelerated as a result of a number of threats to Western democracies. Firstly, the uncontrolled migration from impoverished and war-torn, mainly Muslim countries. Secondly, the threats posed by the rising power and ambitions of China and Russia. And thirdly, and most recently, we have the threat posed by the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic. Even here, our own Australian government has proposed that we download an app to our phones to allow tracking of contacts of coronavirus positive people. Of course, such measures may be appropriate and beneficial. However, it does highlight the increasing state power at the expense of individual freedoms. And this is what we expect when the beast that is to come rises. We are given further important information regarding the beast that is to come when it rises out of the bottomless pit in verse 11. We are told that it is an ape. But what does that mean? In the context of the scarlet beast with 10 horns and 7 heads, it can only mean that it is an eighth head. Even though there is no word here for head, it is indicated by the context. Recognizing that the beast that is to come is an eighth head is important, as some expositors contend that it is not a head. But this contradicts what the scriptures actually say. The scripture actually says the beast is an eighth, and an eighth comes after the seventh. The only 7 referred to here are the 7 heads of the beast. Moreover, Brother Streeter contends that because it is not a head, the beast is headless, and therefore a state of anarchy is implied. And this reflects what Pastor Russell taught. In reprint 2062, we read, the eighth condition will be the beast without a head. So how do we reconcile the seeming contradiction? How is it possible that the scarlet beast has 7 heads and yet has 8? Blessedly, in the same verse, we are given the answer. The beast that is to come belongs to the 7, literally is out of. This means that one of the heads occurs twice and is therefore counted as one head. We are not told which, but it could be any one of them, from Byzantium to Italian-German fascism. With the recent rise of far-right parties and neo-fascist groups in Europe, the latter would certainly seem possible. It also seems clear that it could not, for instance, be Russia, as it has never been part of Western Europe and has never dominated it. That the eighth head is the beast that is to come, and that the English sixth head is the beast that is not, therefore suggests that the eighth head is a return to authoritarian rule and an erosion of individual rights and freedoms. This means that the beast that is to come is not anarchy or a rising of the peoples as in Napoleon's day. Anarchy or a rising of the people have never been a head of the beast, whereas the eighth head is not only a head, but it is one of the 7 that preceded it. Also, the identification of the beast that is to come with the eighth head is important, as it shows that the is not phase cannot be identified with the fall of imperial pagan Rome in 476 AD. nor with the mortal wound of the papacy by Napoleon in 1799. The beauty of recognizing that the same time frame, the prophetic present for which we have good evidence in chapter 1, exists for the English sixth head and the is not phase of the beast, allows us to identify the characteristics of the expected eighth head, which is the beast that is to come. This eighth head, the beast that is to come, is the last head, and so, once it is destroyed, the kingdom of God proper can begin. This would coincide with the time the stone which destroys the image of Daniel chapter 2 becomes a great mountain and fills the whole earth. This means that the destruction of the beast that is to come is one of the last events expected before the kingdom proper is established. The expectation that the beast that is to come is a future event has important consequences for the timing of the trumpet series and the bowls of wrath series. This is because events pertaining to the beast that is to come cross over with events during the sounding of the sixth trumpet and the pouring out of the fifth bowl of wrath. In Revelation chapter 11, this eighth head of the beast that is to come, is mentioned in regards to events during the sounding of the sixth trumpet, specifically in regards to the two witnesses with which the beast will make war and conquer them and kill them. If the beast that is to come and which rises from the bottomless pit is future to our time during the latter part of the invisible second advent, then the time when the two witnesses are killed by the beast that is to come during the time of the sixth trumpet must also be future. This suggests that the indication of the historical approach to Revelation, that the sixth trumpet occurs before the second advent during the Reformation, is probably incorrect. Another important time indicator occurs in relation to the pouring out of the fifth bowl of wrath. In Revelation chapter 16, verse 10, we are told that this fifth bowl is poured out on the throne of the beast. If the beast that is to come is a future event, then the fifth bowl cannot be poured out until the beast that is to come has risen from the pit. It is important to point out that the beast that is to come here in chapter 17 is not the papacy. It is a civil power that controls or dominates the former territories of the Western Roman Empire, like the heads of the beast. The papacy is depicted by the harlot that sits on the beast. The papacy is therefore clearly distinguished from the beast and its heads. It has sometimes been said that the future rise of the eighth head of the beast indicates a future rise of the power of the papacy. However, the analysis here would suggest that this is not the case. The future rise out of the pit refers to the beast that is to come, the eighth head rather than the harlot. The at times future proposed rise of the papacy is also sometimes based on Revelation chapter 19, where it is suggested that the beast mentioned is the same as the beast of chapter 13 and chapter 17. The beast in chapter 13 does seem to be more intertwined with the papacy, and the distinction between the civil and ecclesiastical powers is less clear. But even here, the papacy appears to be more accurately identified with the mouth of the beast, which speaks great blasphemies, rather than the beast itself. Moreover, Daniel chapter 7 talks about the same mouth of the Roman beast and provides the important information that the mouth belongs to the prominent horn that uproots three of the 10 horns. Because in Revelation chapter 13 and Daniel chapter 7, we have a view of the Roman beast at a different time. That is, at the time of the emergence of papal Rome, we would expect the relationship between the civil and ecclesiastical powers to be less clear. The question is whether the beast of Revelation chapter 19 is the same as the one in chapter 13. The first thing to notice is that there seems to be more detail given to us concerning the Roman beast as we progress in time, and which is generally reflected as we progress through the book of Revelation. It would therefore seem unlikely that the beast of chapter 19 have less detail and revert to the more conglomerate picture of the relatively early Roman beast, particularly since the beast of chapter 19 appears to be a relatively late phase of it. Both chapter 17 and chapter 19 give us details about its defeat by Jesus, who is the rider on the white horse, and his army in the final battle. Also, chapter 19 seems to maintain the distinction between the ecclesiastical and civil powers, as the beginning of the chapter continues to talk about the harlot. Also, her judgment is referred to in the aorist tense, suggesting that it is a singular event in the past. Also, in verse 3 of chapter 19, we are told that her smoke rises up forever and ever, suggesting that the harlot's burning by the beast that is to come has already occurred, leaving the civil power of the beast as one of the last entities to be destroyed, making it consistent with the similar events outlined in chapter 17. This suggests that the distinction between the ecclesiastical and civil powers made clear in chapter 17 continues into chapter 19. So that the beast that is thrown into the lake of fire after its defeat by Jesus as the rider on the white horse and his army is the beast that is to come, the eighth head, rather than a conglomerate beast. Importantly, in Revelation chapter 17, where the distinction between the ecclesiastical and civil power is clear, we are told that the harlot is devoured and burned by the beast that is to come, the eighth head. This therefore leaves the civil power, the beast, as one of the last entities to be destroyed. Although the ten kings and the eighth head of the beast do interact with the papacy, that is the harlot, they are to be distinguished from it. A clear distinction between the beast and the harlot continues in the latter part of chapter 17. Right till the end of the transition period when the beast and the ten kings are conquered by Jesus and his army. We also notice that before the final war with the land, the ten kings and the beast turn on the harlot, making her desolate and naked, and devour her, burn her with fire. The final war in which the kings and beast are defeated occurs, therefore, after the papacy is destroyed. Even though it is the ten kings and the beast to which they give their power and authority that destroys the papacy, they do so according to the purpose of God. And this is a nice reminder that these momentous events occur according to God's determined plan. Keeping the distinction between the harlot and the beast clear is important, as it becomes evident that only is it the beast, that not only is it the beast, the civil power of the Roman beast, that will rise from the state of powerlessness, but that it is handed power and authority by the united ten kings. It is the beast that is to come that is given power and authority by the ten kings. Not the harlot, not papacy. Some expositors have suggested that the beast that is to come has already occurred. However, if this was the case, then the papacy would no longer exist, as it is the beast that is to come along with the 10 kings that devour her flesh and burn her up with fire, as verse 16 tells us. Ostensibly, the papacy still exists, and therefore the beast that is to come cannot have already occurred. Moreover, if the beast that is to come, the eighth head, which is the last head, is in the past, then the Roman beast would no longer exist, and we would presumably be in the kingdom proper, which does not appear to be the case. Another paradox becomes evident when we compare the events in relation to the 10 kings mentioned in Revelation chapters 17 and 19 with those in Daniel chapter 7. The 10 kings exist at the same time in contrast to the seven heads, which occur one after another. In Revelation chapter 17, the 10 kings are mentioned in relation to the future rise of the beast that is to come. We are told that these 10 kings, represented by the 10 horns, have not yet received royal power, but do so in the future, and together hand their power and authority over to the beast. And it is this coalition of the 10 kings and the beast that turns on the harlot and devours and burns her. The devouring and burning of the harlot occurs before this coalition makes war with the Lamb and his army, as the coalition is subsequently defeated. It is self-evident that the coalition of the 10 kings and the beast could not destroy the harlot after the coalition is defeated. And yet, in Daniel's vision of the Roman beast in chapter 7, the papacy is depicted as a horn that uproots three of the 10 horns and then becomes prominent and makes war with the saints and prevails over them. These two series of events are clearly different and yet seemingly involve the same entities. We have the Roman beast, the 10 kings, and the papacy. To resolve this paradox, we first notice that the vision of the Roman beast in Daniel appears to be located at the time of the end of Imperial Rome, depicted by the dragon, when it fractured into 10 kingdoms, as it says that the 10 kings arise out of this fourth kingdom. Whereas in Revelation chapter 17, the events occur at the time of the end of the Roman beast, when it is eventually conquered by the Lamb and his army. That the royal power given to the 10 kings of Revelation 17 occurs at the end of the invisible part of the second advent is also suggested when we keep in mind the time frame of chapter 17, the prophetic present, which occurs at the time of the beginning of the second advent, the time that the beast is not, the time of the English sixth head. And it is in relation to this that John tells us that the 10 kings have not yet received royal power. Any other suggestion for the time point here without a coherent backbone time frame seems arbitrary. We have already seen that in regards to the papal Roman beast, it was, but is to come. This means that even though it is the same Roman beast, we have two phases when it has power and authority and displays its beastly qualities of authoritarian rule and suppression of individuals. These two phases are separated by the is not phase of democracy and liberty, and therefore amounts to a double fulfillment. The image in Daniel chapter 2 shows the divided pagan Roman kingdom and the ten toes. It also shows the illicit church-state union in the toes being iron admixed with clay or imitation stone, an apt symbol of the false kingdom of God, which contrasts with the true nascent kingdom of God, which is depicted in the stone that smites the image. The 10 toes represent the same 10 kings present from the time of the fragmentation of the pagan Roman Empire. Of course, there were not always 10 kingdoms, but the number 10 is symbolic of all the individual states. These individual states are present from the dissolution of the pagan Roman Empire till the image is destroyed by the nascent kingdom of God, pictured in Jesus returning at a second advent as the rider on the white horse that goes out conquering and to conquer when the first seal is opened. This double fulfillment explains the two sets of 10 kings, with the differing events coinciding with the two phases of the beast that was and the beast that is to come. This shows nicely that the two sets of 10 kings occur at different times of the pagan beast, the first at the beginning when the papacy arose and the second at the end, just before the papacy is destroyed. From the point of view of the prophetic present, we expect the power and authority of the 10 kings to increase in the future, for it says they have not yet received royal power. We see then the usefulness of the prophetic present, which is based on the Apostle John's transportation to the beginning of the second advent, the Lord's Day. This provides a coherent and scripture-based time frame, allowing us to place many of the visions of Revelation in their correct time slot, and thereby allows a more certain interpretation of the symbols employed, consistent with the historical context. The prophetic present allows us to explain the specific and coincidental time points of the beast that is not and the sixth head in the context of the papal beast of Revelation chapter 17. The time point of the sixth head is made surer given the vital clues given to us in chapter 17, which tells us that the counting of the seven heads can only begin when the papacy came to interact with the kings of the earth and gained real power. Having coherently placed in time the beast that is not, we can make more certain predictions about the beast that is to come. Firstly, the beast that is to come is a future event and involves the rise of one of the previous seven dominant powers in the territories of the former Western Roman Empire, which will restore authoritarian power and erode individual freedoms and rights. Secondly, this rise of the beast from a state of powerlessness will coincide with a time when the 10 states of those territories come to have real state power, which is handed over to the beast that is to come, probably due to these territories facing unprecedented threats. Thirdly, With this newfound power, the beast and the 10 kings will turn on the papacy, that is the harlot, and devour and burn her. Fourthly, we are told that the beast that is to come is an eighth head and is the last, since it will go to destruction when it is defeated in the final battle with Jesus as the rider on the white horse and his army. Paves the way for Jesus and his followers to rule the nations with a rod of iron, pictured in the stone that smites the image of Daniel 2, growing and filling the earth, the kingdom of God for which we pray and earnestly seek. May the Lord add his blessing and overlook anything said amiss.